Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this week's Cyber Church Ministry, because that's really what this is. We are bringing church into your home. And plus, people use this these incredible weekly teachings as opportunities to have home groups, cell groups. Churches use them in their midweek services. They're just used in all kinds of settings, because I want to tell you something. Man, we want to get the Word of God to you any possible way that we can. And today we're going to be talking about something that's really important to me, creating significance. Remember, this whole series is about when Jesus says thank you. And when you begin to realize that you're not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and get beat up and get condemned. And by the way, if you didn't see last week's message, be sure and go back and listen to that, because that's the key for this whole series of understanding that when you stand before Jesus, He's not going to find fault with you. He's not going to look at your failures. He's not going to play a bad videotape of you in heaven. It's just going to be a great reunion. Today we're going to be talking about creating significance. You see, the way the world, or the way the church world, has presented our concepts of God, the truth is, it's really hard, if not impossible, to really have a sense of significance without slipping off into works righteousness, or without slipping off into self-righteousness, or just slipping off into something weird, if you will. Because, you know, in the church world, everything is taught as if spirituality or what you do in the kingdom of God is sort of like a hierarchy. And there's people down here that are the nothing ones. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if this is accurate, but I read once, according to one writer, that the word laity, you know, there's a clergy, and then there's a laity. And that the word laity comes from a Latin word, which means the nothing ones. And, you know, and that's pretty much the way it's been in this hierarchy concept. There are the nothing ones, and then there are the people who have positions, and then there's the ministers, and then there's the people that are above the ministers. And in this concept of hierarchy, it causes people to really strive to be something they're not, to try to attain levels of spirituality, or to try to obtain getting into a particular office or particular ministry so that they can have some kind of a sense of significance. But I'm going to tell you something. That has nothing to do with significance. You know, it really doesn't matter what you do. If you're not doing it unto the Lord, if you're not doing it out of love, it's not significant anyhow. If it's just a job, if it's just an office that you're in, then I'm just going to tell you what, it's just going to end up being a religious mess. You know, you want to start out by realizing that God has crowned you with glory and honor, and those words could have just as well have been the words dignity and worth. God wants you to realize and to feel and to have a sense of dignity and worth. He wants you to feel good about yourself. He wants you to walk through life with a sense of significance that starts first and foremost with who you are in Him, that starts first and foremost about realizing and knowing the love of God and experiencing the love of God in a way that just alters not just how you feel about yourself, but how you present yourself, how you communicate to people, how you treat people around you. And so significance starts really from identity. And the truth is, if you've listened to me preach very much, everything starts from identity. But significance also emerges whenever we begin to yield to God's greater purposes for our lives. Now, I want you to understand something. Significance is not something, it's not something that you find. It's really something you create. And the way you create significance, you know, almost every job I've ever had, I had promotions. I kind of climbed the ladder pretty quick. But the truth is, I never got those promotions or climbed the ladder because I was trying to climb the ladder. You know, one of the rules, and I've managed businesses for 40 years, over 40 years, actually about 45, 46 years. And one of the things I learned early on was, when you go to work somewhere, make yourself valuable. As a matter of fact, you need to do that in your relationships. You know, in a marriage, you need to make yourself valuable in a marriage. And if you make yourself valuable, then your mate is going to have value for you. You know, sometimes we think that just because we're married or just because we have a job, that that other person should value us. Well, I'll tell you something. You make yourself valuable by the contributions you make, by what you bring to the table, by what you have to give to the situation. So every job I've ever had, I've always made sure that I made myself valuable by doing a good job. And I'll tell you, particularly after I got saved, I understood that how I did my work, how I conducted myself, how I treated people, how I did business was a direct reflection on the reputation of Jesus. You see, all the world can see about Jesus is what they see in us. And how we treat them, it's not about being perfect. It's not about being flawless. As a matter of fact, if you think that's what God needs for you to be, you will be a lying, deceiving, self-righteous hypocrite because you'll be afraid to admit that you have weaknesses. You'll be afraid to say you're sorry when you're wrong because you can't admit that you're wrong. You know, you got to be comfortable with the fact God loves you even when you're wrong. God loves you even when you mess up. You don't use that as an excuse to mess up. But when you can even portray that to the world, you are bringing value to their life because they're realizing that if God loves you, then God loves them. But you make yourself valuable in relationships, in business, in everything that you do. You make yourself a resource. You make yourself significant, you see. You make yourself lovable. You bring to the situation what you think would serve everybody involved most effectively, and you become a great resource. And I'm telling you something, people will have significance for you. You will have influence in people's lives, but you will have a sense of significance because, you know, it's interesting. Some people try to think that just knowing that God loves you is going to be enough to make you feel right about yourself. But the truth is, the Bible teaches, even though it doesn't use these words in teaching it, it teaches the concepts of self-worth, and self-worth has to do with, with the value that God has for us. It has to do with the fact that we're precious, that we're loved, and all of those things. But also, you want to realize that how we manage ourselves affects how we view ourselves as well. So you can know that God loves you and have that sense of self-worth that comes from that. But if you're not walking in love, you can't feel right about yourself. So it's really not just enough to have self-worth or try to have self-worth just from the basis that God loves you. When we walk in love, when we serve other people, when we're valuable to other people, we're not trying to earn something from them. We're trying to express who we are as significant people in this world. We're trying to express who we are as unique individuals before God. We're trying to express to the world the character and the love that God has for them. And you see, if you believe that you're special, and if you believe that you're loved, and if you live out of that, then you'll treat people that way, and you'll be significant in their lives. But you know what? You will have this deep, deep sense of significance. You know, I heard a story one time about a missionary that made this incredible sacrifice to go to Africa. He spent years in Africa ministering and serving, and he saw incredible results. And of course, one of the things, you know, he always wondered, did the people at home know? You know, he's making all these sacrifices for God. He's off in the backside of the jungle. Does anybody know? Does anybody care? Does he have any sense of significance? So after years of serving, he took a ship home. And this was quite a few years ago. And when he reached the harbor, there was a band with all kinds of fanfare and all kinds of celebration. And he looked out and he wondered, well, maybe people know that I'm coming. Maybe people know that I've won thousands and thousands of people to Jesus here as a missionary. Maybe people recognize and value, you know, what the contribution that I've made. And then he realized that the president was on the boat, and the president had been off on a trip shooting wild game, and so everybody came out to see the president. So he gets on, you know, he's disappointed. He realizes, or he thinks, you know, I'm not significant. Nobody has value for me. And he gets on a train, and he's headed home. And at a train, when the train stops, when he gets home, he hears a band playing. There's a parade, and he's thinking, maybe my hometown heard that I'm here. But in actuality, they had hooked the president's car up into the back of the train, and people were celebrating the president just because his car was hooked to the back of the train. And, you know, he was really discouraged. You know, nobody remembered, and he was walking home all alone, and he's thinking, you know, all the president did was shoot a line, but I gave up my life, and I came home, and nothing is happening. Nobody knows. And God spoke to his heart and said, son, you're wrong, because you're not at home yet. You see, we're not at home until we're at home with the Lord. And the truth is, and we talked about this last week, the truth is, people may not respond to you. People may not see your true significance. People may not see your contributions to the world, but I want you to know something. God sees your contribution to the world. And it's not works. It's not dead works. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about trying to earn something from God. We're talking about expressing the character and the nature of God in the way you do business, the way you treat people, the way you talk to people, the way you treat your kids. And yes, if God puts something on your heart, or passion rises up in your heart to minister to people, serve people, to help people, whatever it is, everything that you do, that you do from a heart of love, everything that you do to benefit people in the kingdom of God and bring God's love to the world, I want you to tell you something. God recognizes it, and when you get home, your true significance is going to be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, remember, judgment is not always a bad word. You know, we have this tendency to think that in the Bible, that judgment is just always talking about a bad thing. You know, somebody that's not guilty of a crime that goes on trial, many times the judgment is that they are found innocent. So see, we tend to always see judgment as a negative word. There's many times in the Bible that the word judgment can have a positive or a negative connotation, but we always assume that it's negative. I'll tell you something, the judgment seat of Christ is where, like we talked about last week, all of your deeds, independent of you. See, you don't go through the fire, but everything you did in life passes through the fire. And those things that were wood, hay, and stubble, in other words, those things that have no eternal significance, those things that will not stand the test of time, you know, wood, hay, and stubble, they all rot, they all decay, they all fall apart in this world, in this life. But you see, gold and silver and precious stones, those things endure the test of time. And I think that's probably why Paul used that as a metaphor for good works. And remember, there's nothing wrong with good works. There's some people that think good works and bad works are the same, and that you know, that Jesus came to set us free from works. No, actually, Jesus came to set us free from dead works. But the Bible says in the book of Ephesians 2:8, when it tells us that by grace we're saved through faith, it goes on to tell us that we're saved and set apart unto good works. We are called, we are representatives of Jesus. Every one of us are significant in this world. Every one of us are significant to the people that see us and watch us every day, no matter how bad they treat us. You know, I don't want to get too far off track here, but I feel like I need to go here. I have a sense this is going to help people, because sometimes people are just like, yeah, but you don't know how people treat me. Let me tell you something. Most of the jobs that I've had since I got saved, when I would go to work there and people would find out that I was a believer, they would basically start out by trying to make it as hard as possible for me. And they would give me the worst jobs. They would give me the worst time slots. They'd give me all of the dirty work, because really they didn't want any serious Christians around. And particularly when they found out, you know, if or when they found out I was called to ministry, it's like, man, they definitely didn't want any preachers around. But you know something? Those people that treated me bad, and the Bible tells us this, that eventually, by them watching your behavior, that you become a testimony to them. And really, it makes it possible for God to deal with their conscience. There's people in this city that I do business with that for 10, 15 years did everything they could to push against me every time I saw them. And you know something, you can take that stuff personal, but and you can feel bad, but you know what? The Bible tells you that whenever people, when you're persecuted for the name of Jesus, it says rejoice. In other words, people are seeing the glory of God on you to some degree. You know, not because you're a self-righteous, religious flake, not because you're walking around preaching, not because you're trying to straighten everybody out, not because you're perfect, but you know something? When you're a believer and you live like a believer and you won't lie and cheat and steal and do all these things that unbelievers do, people look at you and they realize you're different and it's going to really affect their conscience and sometimes they may persecute you. But I promise you this, when they're persecuting you, don't go to complaining and griping and all that kind of stuff, because when you gripe and complain to other people and get sympathy, I want you to realize you have gotten your reward in this life. Anything you do to get your reward now, I want you to know there isn't a reward for you when you stand before Jesus. If you've already done what you could do to get your reward or your acknowledgement now. But you know something? When you go through stuff, instead of complaining and griping and yang-yanging and gossiping and slandering, you just go through it and you keep walking in love and you keep being patient. I got news for you. That's something where God is keeping score. And before when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you will be rewarded. But I want you to know something. If you continue to represent God in a way that's loving and kind, these people, it may take a while, these people will eventually, probably, come to Jesus. Many of my family and close friends, even though it took 10, 15, 20 years to win some of them to Jesus, it didn't happen because I witnessed to them every time I saw them. It happened because of the way I treated them, the way I talked to them, the way I represented Jesus. And when they were ready for help, then I was the person that they turned to, and that'll happen for you. But even greater than that, I'm telling you, no matter how great the benefits are here, there's going to be a celebration. There's going to be a reward celebration in heaven. That's why the Bible says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. You know, that's where your homecoming is going to be. That's what your homecoming will be, is standing before the Lord and not just hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, personally, I think you get a well done, thou good and faithful servant just because you held your faith firm till the end, just because you continued to believe on Jesus and didn't cast away your faith. But, you know, but the Bible tells us there's going to be these rewards. I don't even understand. You know, you'd think just getting to heaven would be plenty. And I don't know what these rewards are going to be, but I know they're going to be there. And we want to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven where it can't be stolen from us, where nobody can take it away from us. And we, you know, we want to spend eternity rejoicing. It's kind of interesting. You go through different stages in life. And, you know, in a lot of my training, I've had to study all this stuff. And the early stages of life, you go through survival, stability, and success. Now, the first three phases of this scenario are basically all about yourself. Survival, stability, and success. These are the things that really you're doing for yourself to preserve your own life. And I always encourage people, you know, serve God through all of these stages. Walk with God. And be the person that you should be. But you're going to reach a place in your life, particularly as you get older, where significance begins to become the important factor in your life, where you want your life to have counted for something. And see, significance comes when you are helping others. Nobody cares about success. Nobody outside of you really in the long term cares about success. Nobody cares about how much money you have or how much you've made. You see, we don't honor people who just make something for yourself or for themselves. Memorials are for those who have laid down their lifetime and resources for others. And I want you to realize that I'm not talking about you having a horrible life so everybody's going to have a good life. But I am talking about making sure that as you're walking through daily life, you're making yourself significant, even if it's to nobody but your wife and kids or your husband and your kids or your neighbors. Make yourself significant by the character that you are, the way you treat people, the way you talk to people, and represent Jesus in a way that eventually somewhere people are going to say, look, you're different. Why are you this way? How come you don't gripe and complain? How come you tend to stay in a good mood? How come you're optimistic? How come you even treat me this way? You know, I've had people, I remember I had a guy one time at work just cuss me out. He was so mad at me over something that really wasn't my fault. He thought I did that I didn't do. And later on, he came back and apologized to me, and he's like, man, I cannot believe that you took this from me. I cannot believe this. Why didn't you just cuss me out? Why didn't you flip out? And, you know, I was able to share the love of God with him. And I got news for you. Whether I won him to Jesus or not is not really the goal. God's keeping track of how and why we do what we do. In other words, when we do things to serve other people, when we do other things for a kingdom purpose, when we do other things to contribute to the quality of other people's lives, this right here is gold, silver, and precious stone. You know, that's why the Bible says, even if you give a cup of water to somebody in my name, or if you give a cup of water to a prophet or whatever, in other words, anything that you do, God wants you to know that it is not forgotten. It is not overlooked. And you're going to stand before Jesus, and you're going to be rewarded for everything that you did unto the Lord, for every way that you created trust and love and kindness, and every way that you built other people up. And you know something? You could die a penniless man. And when you consider that this life is pretty short, you could die penniless and then spend eternity enjoying the rewards, the benefit, and whatever it is that God brings to our life for the way, you know, that we've treated others and the way we've lived our life. You know, this isn't mere humanism. Man, this is the love of God. This is how you make yourself significant, by the way you treat other people. Listen, I want to share some real practical things with you. I want you to be sure and come back for our mentoring moment, because you know, none of these messages do you any good whatsoever if we don't find some way to break this down to daily life. You know, how do I take this out into the real world? And so every week we have a mentoring moment so you can put this into practice, so you can have something to walk away with instead of saying, okay, I've got some more information, but you can walk away and say, I've got some information. Now I know how to put this into practice. I'll be right back with you. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You know, the starting place for creating significance is to always make yourself aware that everything that you're doing it unto the Lord. You're really not, even though you may be doing it for people and to help people and to benefit people, you're not really doing it for you. You're not really doing it just for them, but you're doing it for them unto the Lord. In other words, whatever I do, I'm doing it because I want to express my love to God. I want to express my character to God. I would encourage you to do something. Find some way. Get you a index card, something that you can put wherever you work and wherever you have to spend time doing things, sometimes mundane tasks, and put in, just write on that card, I do this unto the Lord. Because you see, when that becomes your mindset, when you're at work, just doing your job, you can remind yourself, you know something? I'm doing my job unto the Lord. I'm doing my job because I'm going to use these resources to take care of my family. I'm going to use these resources to benefit the kingdom of God. I'm going to use this time here to do something quality and maybe influence other people's lives. But whenever you create the awareness that you're doing it unto the Lord, everything about how you will do that job, everything about how you'll communicate is going to change. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says it this way. It says, whatever you put your hand to, do it with all of your might. Because once you determined that you're going to do something to the Lord, you're not going to give him your second best. You're not going to give him your leftovers. You're going to do it heartily, as the Apostle Paul said in the book of Colossians, or as Ecclesiastes says, you're going to do it with all of your might. And you know what I have found? I have found that some of the most mundane tasks can really become joyful times and can even become times where I have spiritual awakenings. You know, I've done jobs before where I just said, you know, God, I don't really want to do this, but I am going to do this as unto you, and I'm going to bring the quality to it. I'm going to do this in some kind of way that if somebody was watching me and they were judging you by what I was doing, that they would trust you, they would look at you differently, they would want to know what I know about you. Do what you do unto the Lord.